All right, Sandy Rios with you. And you've been listening to my broadcast and my interviews from Liberty Pastors Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia, just a few days ago. But we're not finished with the interviews because I just had a series of them, and they were wonderful. And so Liberty Pastors, by the way, if you are a pastor or you have a pastor and you think they could benefit from this, and I can't think of any pastor who wouldn't, to be honest with you, it's so affordable. It's $99 for a pastor and his wife, and that's all meals, and that's 3 nights in a beautiful hotel, and they have these conferences all over the country. So go to libertypastors.com and check, or libertypastors.org.com, either one, and check out what they're doing. They have world-class speakers who are, I've never, really honestly, at a conference, I've never heard so many great speakers. Just bam, 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 bam. All of them delivering powerful information, so motivational and inspirational. So it's libertypastors.com. And so there are vast numbers of Americans who have not had a chance for life because their mothers have decided to terminate their lives, either in utero or with the abortion pill, whatever they're doing. And so even if for no other reason, that shouldn't happen in America because we've promised everyone the right to life, and that includes our babies. So on this July, the celebrating the birth of our nation, we remember that, and we want to do everything we can to change it. Preborn is certainly doing that, and that's by showing moms the photos of their baby in utero, where they can see them sucking their thumb or moving around. It's just beautiful, and that's what happens, and it changes moms' minds. Most of them actually do change their mind when they see that. One ultrasound is $28, and we just hope and pray that you'll be generous and give your best amount to help stop taking the lives of unborn babies in this country. We need to do it right now. So lots of things, good things are happening. Let's add this to the list. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, you can call us. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040 and leave a message, some response, some thing of observation, something you didn't like, something you did like. We love hearing from you. So call 662-821-2040 and don't leave us a message about what you think about what you're hearing. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms. And you can also find us at my website, which is sandyrios.com. I think that it's easier to listen to the podcast doing that. If you're not used to podcasting, sandyrios.com. However, if you're an AFR listener, you probably have already discovered, I hope, that you can go to afr.net, and listen to the program, or you can go to any social media platform, Apple or Spotify or Amazon or any of those, and listen to Sandy Rios 24/7 anytime. Well, you can listen to it, by the way, 24/7. Wasn't that clever? Anyway, so there are lots of ways to listen, and I encourage you to do that. Today, I bet you've heard the name Matt Staver, haven't you? Matt is actually, he's a superstar in defending the rights of believers. He was a superstar on COVID. He defended so many of the military guys that I interviewed who were forced to take that COVID shot, not vaccine, shot. And were out, had to leave the military or were damaged from it. Matt has won so many cases defending them. And, of course, anything on liberty. Matt is, he's argued before the Supreme Court. He's won almost every case. And so he joins us. He's the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. And so he joins us today to talk about, you know, cases that are in the news, if we possibly can overturn the decision that made gay marriage possible, made it legal, that the Supreme Court made. Can we turn that around? We just might be able to do that. And that's one of the things we'll talk about on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Well, it's my privilege and pleasure always to talk to my next guest. I've known him for a number of years. We were in some real battles together when I was president of Concerned Women for America, chief of which was the marriage amendment trying to prevent gay marriage. And we lost that battle. And so we have other things to talk about. But Matt Staver is with me. Matt is just, well, grown up. Yeah, grown up. It's a long time ago. So you have
kind
of grown up together. Yeah, he's grown up to be one of the finest litigators on behalf of Christians and conservatives all over the country. If we're on the COVID shot, military men, on you know all kinds of religious abuse, any other category I'm forgetting. I mean,
well, yeah, religious freedom, sanctity of life, yeah. God's design for marriage and family.
Yeah, amazing what you've done, Matt. I'm really and always, you know, I've told you this before. When we were in D.C., I'm a hard grader, and so I don't always. I don't know, if you call it a stubborn streak, I don't think so. It's just a sense of righteousness because God's called me as he has you. And I always found that you were right on, we were almost always on the same page mm-hmm. on everything, mm-hmm. you know. And I trusted your judgment, and I still do, and it's important to me. You know, I don't think, it's not a game what we do.
No, it's not.
We're not into, for being known or the privileges or the pleasures that come from, it's not about that, and when it starts being about that, all the power goes out. Mm-hmm. It's just not that. It's not that, and it's not that for you.
It's a calling, and it's a calling yeah. that you have that burns inside of you, and that's what makes you get up every day and do it over and over again and not get discouraged. In my case, you know, I believe that we might have some temporary setbacks, but that doesn't get me discouraged because I know if we just continue to persist, like, for example, in Roe versus Wade, that was around for nearly 50 years, 49 plus years, and people prayed, people worked, we had some victories, we had some setbacks, but continuing over and over again, working from prayer, political activity, voting, legal challenges, legislation, and guess what? Roe versus Wade is gone. Now the battle's on the states. On the issue of marriage, yeah. I believe that we have a chance to reclaim that again with the Kim Davis case or some other case. I think Kim Davis case has a great possibility for the Supreme Court to take it and overturn this horrible, baseless Obergefell versus Hodges opinion that was issued in June of 2015.
I want to talk about that for sure. And I'm not even sure where to start, because that's where I really, we really work together. I think I was in the Supreme Court when they argued that case. I bet you were too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing that really just drove me crazy, Matt, was that the thing they chose to argue, make their case on, was so flimsy, I thought. Mm-hmm. It wasn't based on the moral issue or all the passion was gone from the argument, because wasn't it about children have a right to have two parents? I think that was the crux of their argument, right? Which is true, but it's not the heart of the problem.
No, it's not. And in fact, if you look at marriage, children do best when they are raised with a mother and a father, a male and a female mother and father. There's just no question about that. And so when you start to deconstruct that relationship, they fare less well if they're raised in a single-parent home, a mother or a father that doesn't have the opposite sex or counterpart in the home, tries to supplement for the missing gender, and they do whatever they can, and they do much great work. But biological mothers and fathers make a huge difference in the well-being of children. Now, when you start to move into even a further direction, two people of the same sex, what you have done, you have permanently precluded from that child's life either a mother or a father. But worse, it's much different than single parenting, because in single parenting, you don't have an adversity to the missing gender that's in the home or not in the home. You actually interact with individuals who are the opposite sex. But in the case of the same sex, you not only have no opposite sex there, but there is a skewed view of the missing gender.
Now, you remember Bobby Lopez? Do you remember him?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I was, this is past our time, my time at CWA, but I was living in D.C. and doing the morning show for American Family Radio. And Mark Regnerus, the professor from University of Texas, did that study on the effects of gay parenting. And I got in touch with Mark, and anyway, he led me to Bobby Lopez. And Bobby, gosh, he did his first interview with me. He was raised by a lesbian and her partner, and he was not a conservative. And it really was such a moving interview because he was trying to defend his mother, which I didn't not want him to do. He loved his mother, but the damage that had been done to him. He'd gone into the gay lifestyle. One of the things is, you know, sexual confusion.
Yeah.
Kids get very confused about their sex. Yeah. But my original point in starting down this road was, do you find it difficult, as a man who really loves God and feels the rightness and the wrongness of things from the Holy Spirit himself, and then you're an attorney, and you got to make the case. And so you have to make a case in a way that judges who don't share your worldview, for the most part anymore, will understand, and yet not taking out the guts, the power of the problem.
Yeah, I think there's a way to do that. Certainly, you have to argue the law, but I think you also have to build the case. And so, for example, I was on NPR some years ago, and I was talking about marriage as the union of a man and a woman, and I went over through those specific points that children do best when they are raised with a mother and a father, that mom and dad have complementary contributions to the well-being of the children. And children have different things and needs that each one meets differently. And so I got a call, one of the callers called in, and they were in a lesbian relationship. And I thought, here it goes, they're going to blast me. And she said, you know, they are two lesbians, they have a son, and she agreed with me. She said, you're right. You know, we try to do whatever we can to introduce the boy to other men, but it just is not the same. There's no substitute for it. So they agreed with me. I was surprised. Then the next caller that called in was a man, and he was now grown. He was raised by two mothers. And I thought, here it goes. I'm going to be attacked by this person. And he also agreed with me. He said the same thing. He said that having no father there made it very difficult for him when he grew up to know how to be a father and to be a husband. And he also said that, yes, because of his mothers who did not have a man in the family, they had an adversity, a skewed view of maleness. So they always put down the male. And so he grew up his entire life having negative input from his parents or his parent, the two female household, as it relates to how to be a male or maleness in general. So he agreed as well. And I think that that is true. And so, you know, those are ways that you can begin the conversation as opposed to saying same-sex marriage is wrong.
Or is a sin or whatever.
It's a sin.
Right.
Is build some things that you know are true. And then, well, so what's the most ideal environment? Well, the most ideal environment is a mom and a dad. And that's why we have protected marriage so much throughout our history, through millennia of human history that predates the United States of America, but certainly through the entire history up until June 26, 2015, which is the 5-4 opinion of Obergefell, because it is the central foundation and the bedrock of our society. Moms and dads, male and female, they do something that's very beneficial to the well-being of children, and those children become adults, and that becomes our community.
Isn't it something? You know, I've been on NPR many times, and I remember I think I was still in D.C., that second iteration, and I was talking about something. I'm sure it's something like this. They always called me for these kinds of things, and man, they cut me off and went to a commercial break. But the thing about that is that was their listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a God thing, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That was their listeners, and I thought, you know, I was going to get attacked, and I wasn't. I had two people from different perspectives both agreeing with my proposition, which is true. It's really pretty much undisputed that children do best when they're raised with a mother and a father. And so in this case, Chief Justice John Roberts read his dissent from the bench. He's only read one dissent ever from the bench. Never before, never after June 26, he read his Obergefell dissent from the bench. Why do justices do that? It's very rare, but they do it on occasion. Why? To give significant emphasis to their dissent. It's basically like putting everything in bold, underlining everything. Everything's italics. You know, it's like screaming out. And so he wanted to read his dissent from the bench, and so it was very strong. He said five lawyers imposed their will, not a legal judgment, and their opinion has nothing to do with the Constitution. So that's why he read it from the bench. It was one of the strongest dissents ever by a Chief Justice in the history of America. We also have Thomas, and
it's
we have Alito
that
also gave great dissents. But, you know, the one that really won the day was Thomas. And so we have three justices on the bench that have been strong opponents of Obergefell. We need four justices to take a case. We need five justices to win. So I would just encourage people to pray, because the justices will review the Kim Davis case sometime in late October, early November. And in their conference, they will make a decision whether to take the case or not. And that's going to be the critical turning point in the Kim Davis case and really in this issue of Obergefell.
So please remind me, it was Justice Kennedy who wrote the majority opinion, right, made the case why. And what was, I can't remember what reason he gave, what twisted reason.
He didn't give any reason. In fact, that was the thing that the dissenters actually talked about. Number one, you know, we have due process in the Constitution, which simply means that you have a right to be informed of the charge against you, and you have a right to defend yourself against that charge. That's due process. What we don't have is called substantive due process. The justices in the liberal decades of the Supreme Court invented that so that they could just come up with anything they wanted to and call it constitutional. So if it's not enumerated, like the First Amendment, free exercise of religions, enumerated, if it's not enumerated, they say, well, is it deeply rooted in our history such that we need to protect it? And if we don't protect it, the very concept of ordered liberty will come unraveled, whatever that means. It's so important that we've got to protect it. So they've come up with this idea of substantive due process. Well, think about this. That was overturned in Roe versus Wade with regards to the Dobbs decision. That was based on substantive due process. And so the Supreme Court rejected it. And Justice Thomas said, there's other cases based upon it. Obergefell's one.
Right.
We need to evaluate those and get rid of this substantive due process. That's not in the Constitution. It's judge-made activism. But then when we get to Obergefell, they didn't even use substantive due process. They went another step beyond that. The court already doesn't like substantive due process. They want to get rid of it. They went one step beyond it. Because think about it. Is same-sex marriage deeply rooted in our history? No. For most of our history, it's been illegal. So it wasn't until the five lawyers, that's Chief Justice John Roberts' words, invented it out of thin air. You know, we had 30-plus states, and CWA, when you were there, and after that, others as well, worked on these marriage amendments. We have 30-plus states that have passed marriage amendments in their state constitution. We have every state that had marriage as the union of a man and a woman in their state laws. So what happens if Obergefell is overturned? The state constitutional provisions that have never been repealed, they come right back into existence. The state laws that have never been repealed, they come right back into existence. And we go back to almost a Dobbs situation where the majority of states will come back and say marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and they'll continue that. There'll be a small number of states, maybe California, New York, that will say, no, we want to have same-sex marriage. They'll be able to do that. But the majority will say, no, marriage is the union of a man and woman, always has been, and we're going to maintain it here in our state as well.
So, Matt, for gay couples, homosexual couples, that would mean they're no longer married, but then they always said, as you know, that the reason they wanted to get married was because they didn't have hospital visit rights, and none of that was true.
That
they couldn't property rights, that wasn't true either, you know, that they couldn't, you know, share a domicile. And
I will say this, though, the Respect for Marriage Act,
right?
The Democrats and some Republicans that supported that probably didn't realize what they were actually doing. They're actually helping us to overturn Obergefell. Why?
Oh, really?
Because the big argument in overturning a Obergefell would be, well, what about those people who have marriage licenses? What about the people who relied on our opinion? As bad as it was in 2015, by overturning it, we're going to make a greater mess. We're going to put everybody in limbo. Well, no, the Respect for Marriage Act that they passed actually helps us, and it takes away that reliance argument. Why? Because anybody who has a license at the time same-sex marriage is overturned in the Obergefell opinion will still have the license. It'll still be valid, but states will not have to issue new licenses going forward.
Interesting. So that problem's solved.
That's the problem solved.
Wow.
They actually did us a favor.
Okay, so I have to tell you, because I cover so many things now, I don't have the luxury of being an expert on some issues like this and like abortion. I just talked to Father Frank. So when I saw the Kim Davis decision, I had to stop and think about that. And then I remembered I interviewed Kim Davis.
Yeah.
She was the Kentucky clerk who refused to issue a same-sex marriage license.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And was that after the Supreme Court decided?
That was after, So it came down on June 26th, which was a Friday. On Monday, she decided not to issue any licenses to same or opposite sex until her religious accommodation request was addressed. And then we actually had the president of the Senate of Kentucky, who wrote a brief in our favor, amicus brief, that said Kim couldn't issue anything because the laws of Kentucky were shredded by the court. The court may strike down a law, but they can't create a law. So until the legislature acted, the president of the Senate said, Kim could not have done anything because she is totally regulated by statute. For example, if she were to give a marriage license to somebody that's too close, like a mother marrying a son, that would be a violation of state law. She could be criminally prosecuted because she's not authorized to do that. She can only do what she's authorized to do by state statute. And when those state statutes are dinged by the Supreme Court, the legislature has to act to tell her what she can and can't do going forward. So she asked for an accommodation. The Democrat governor would not grant one. So she gets thrown in jail. While she gets thrown in prison for 6 days, one of her deputy clerks in September of 2015 actually issues a license, scratches out her name, and they get a license. And there are three different sets of plaintiffs. One of them says, that's all we want. They go away. The other one says, I want Kim Davis's name on there. And they complain to the judge.
Oh, so they could do a claim against her?
Yeah, they asked the judge to hold her in contempt because her name had been scratched off the license. And so the governor then, the same governor who wouldn't give her the
accommodation. What governor was that? I'm sorry.
Bashirs,
that's right.
Yeah,
okay.
Stephen Bashirs. Yep. And his son, now Andy Bashirs, is governor of Kentucky. So Stephen Bashirs said, oh, no, it's okay. It's valid. So the accommodation that she asked for, he wouldn't give. But once her name got scratched off, he said, no, it's okay. It's valid. So they got a license without her name on it in September. And then the newly elected governor, Matt Bevin, Republican, in December issued an executive order granting her religious and all the clerks an accommodation. Then the legislature in April of 2016, unanimously, Democrats and Republicans came together with no dissents, passed a law that allowed the clerks to have their name removed from the licenses. So she got the accommodation she asked for, but David Ermold and David Moore wanted to punish her personally and mock her for her faith, so they continued to press their claim. And eventually, we went to a jury trial in 2023 with two juries for the Millers and also, not the Millers, but a different set of plaintiffs. The Miller plaintiffs were fine in 2015. They went away. The other ones, and then the Ermold plaintiffs. And we had two juries in the same courtroom, same day, hearing the same evidence. They then convened to deliberate. One came back, said zero damages. The other one came back, the Ermold one, said $50,000 apiece. No lost wages, no counseling, no medical treatment, nothing. Why? Well, because they said they had hurt feelings. And so that now is a judgment against Kim personally.
Okay.
And then the judge came back and tacked on $260,000 in attorney's fees. So she now has a $360,000 plus verdict against her personally. And that's what's before the U.S. Supreme Court.
And let me just interject from interviewing her and watching her 10 years ago, I guess it was. She's just a plain Kentucky gal, just a salt of the earth Kentucky strong believer in Christ, just a no political involvement that I know of, just this is against her conscience before God, and she couldn't do it. And she just stayed steadfast. They threw her in jail. She stayed steadfast. Just an amazing woman, really.
Amazing woman. Yeah. Her life, you know, some people say, well, you know what, she made a mess of marriage. Yeah, she says she did. She was a good mother, she said, but a bad person. She had married multiple times before. But she's been married now to Joe, who was her second husband now for almost 30 years. So people will say, well, she made a mess of marriage. Yeah, she did. But you know what? A couple of years before all this happened, she was visiting her godly mother-in-law in the hospital who was dying. Her deathbed wish to Kim was, Kim, get your life in order. Can you just take your family to church? Just to check off the box that she's obeying a wish of her godly mother-in-law's death wish or death prayer, she went to a church. She found a church that night. She took her family. She had no intention of going back. And guess what? The preacher was talking about Galatians, how God forgives you in his grace. She became a broken woman, wept, gave her life to Jesus Christ, and was radically changed. So she is a sample, an example of absolute total redemption.
It's like Rahab the harlot, or you know, just how God uses broken people and restores them, and then gives them a task.
Yeah, Mary Magdalene, you know, seven demons. I can't imagine what she was like.
No,
can you imagine?
No,
she didn't have one.
No.
She had seven demons.
No.
And Jesus cast him out.
All right, so what does this case, how does this connect with the marriage?
Well, because...
how could this possibly contribute to overturning Obergefell?
Two reasons. We're asking the Supreme Court two questions to consider. Number one, Kim Davis should have the First Amendment as an absolute affirmative defense. She should have been granted that. It's very simple. And number two, by the way, the Obergefell opinion, which gave rise to this, has no foundation in the Constitution and should be overturned. Kind of like what happened with the 15-week abortion law. The 15-week abortion law, they argued, should be upheld. But by the way, the Roe versus Wade opinion, the underlying issue that we're, you know, debating about, that's flawed. It ought to be overturned.
So simple as that. And would you be the one... You've appealed to the Supreme Court, and you're waiting to hear if they're... Would it be next summer?
Spring? Well, if the Supreme Court took the case, they would set it for briefing, and then argument would be early 2026 with a decision by the end of June 2026.
Okay. Wow, Matt.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it could, you know, just continue to pray, because it...
You'd be the one arguing before the
I
court,
would argue.
Which you've done many times.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you have a great record, by the way, don't you?
Well, the last one I did, praise the Lord, we lost twice in the district court, lost twice in the Court of Appeals, and then won 9-0 at the United States Supreme Court in the case of Shurtleff versus City of Boston. So, you know, sometimes what is intended for evil against you, you know, we would have wanted to win both of those cases at the district court, at the Court of Appeals. But it wasn't in God's design. If we had won, we would never go to the Supreme Court. But we lost. We should have won. We lost four times and then won unanimously 9-0 at the Supreme Court. And that ultimately paved the way to overturn this 1971 Lemon versus Kurtzman decision that really distorted the First Amendment.
Which is another story for another day, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, Matt, I could talk to you forever, but... You're a busy man, and I know you have some place to be, don't you?
Yeah, well, thank you.
I want to be respectful to you.
Pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, Matt, and you're such a great friend and someone that I really admire. So thank you for everything that you're doing. I'll be cheerleading for you, for Kim. She can't do interviews, can she?
She doesn't like the spotlight. You know, she's the last person who wants to be in the spotlight. She just wants to live her life. She's a humble woman, loves God, loves her family, loves her children and grandchildren.
Yeah. So, people, we need to pray for her, Kim Davis.
Absolutely, because she's been getting death threats. We have, too, since this case is back in the media again.
Well, what else is new, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Matt, Liberty Council.
LC.org, Liberty Council's website, LC.org.
Yes, so if you have a dispute, your church or any religious liberty, First Amendment issue, Matt's the man. He's the man. So, All right, thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Thank God bless.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
And the FDA finally approved the French abortion pill. And again, there's two pills. They okayed the first one, mifepristone, for chemical abortions up to 7 weeks. Later, that was extended to 10 weeks under Barack Obama. And then under Joe Biden, they opened the door to the FDA approving of mifepristone prescriptions online, through the mail, and without any kind of supervision. And the Supreme Court upheld that unanimous ruling just in 2024. It really is despicable. I'm telling you, it is despicable, given the number of injuries, 10% or so of women who have these chemical abortions, not to mention the loss of life, the trauma of delivering at home. It is a disgraceful thing that our country has done. But Preborn is trying to provide a redemptive way to stop it. They have a pill that can actually reverse that first pill. And the first one is mifepristone. So if a mother has second thoughts when she takes that first pill, if she gets to a Preborn clinic, they can stop that. But if she takes the second pill, which expels the baby, it's too late. And that's why we're trying to educate women, not educate. I hate that. Just really too sterile. We're trying to move their hearts by showing them their baby in utero through ultrasound. That's what Preborn does. That's the emotional trigger, which is genuine and real from the heart of God. That's a baby. And when women see that, they don't take these abortion pills. It stops it before it begins. But both things have to be addressed, and that's what Preborn does. If you would like to help, it's $28 for one ultrasound. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And please make your most generous donation.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, I know, I'm not even confused. I'm confident that you enjoyed that and learned a lot in our conversation with Matt Staver. Again, we were at Liberty Pastors Training Camp in Williamsburg, Virginia, and Matt delivered. He talked to the pastors about the new law, the reversal of the Johnson Amendment, which pastors for years have worried that they can't talk about candidates from the pulpit, can't talk about issues, but they can. And so Matt really went into the weeds with that and explained it to the pastors that attended. It was just great stuff. And remember, it's libertypastors.org. You can find out all about it when one's coming near you. I think that's everything for today, except for this. I want to thank, as always, our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.